just want to read one passage which should be fairly well known in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, which in this edition of the Bible is page 1354. 1354. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read just verse 15, just in a bit. It says, "For if by the offence of one the many have died, much rather has the grace of God and the free gift in grace, which is by the one man, Jesus Christ, abound unto the many. And shall not as by one that has sinned be the gift? For the judgment was one to condemnation, but the act of favour of many offences unto justification. For if by the one offence, for if by the offence of the one death reign by the one, much rather shall those who receive the abundance of grace and of the free gift of righteousness reign in life by the one Jesus Christ. So then, as it was by one offence towards all men to condemnation, so by one righteousness towards all men for the justification of life. For as indeed by the disobedience of the one man the many have been constituted sinners, so also by the obedience of the one the many will be constituted righteous. But law came in order that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace has overabounded, in order that, even as sin has reigned in the power of death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Tonight, dear friends, you are in the courtroom of heaven. You might wonder what you're doing in such a place. You say, "I'm not guilty of anything. I've tried to live my life as best I can. I've given away money. I've gone to church. I've been kind to my neighbours." Dear friend, tonight you stand in the courtroom of heaven. Talks in this passage about offence. Offence. You might have offended your parents or your brothers and sisters, your friends, your teacher, your boss. Have you ever thought you've offended God? Perhaps you don't even believe in God. I feel sorry for you if that's the case. It says in the scripture, "The fool saith in his heart, there is no God." I can tell you with authority from the Bible, dear friend, that if you say there's no God, you're a fool. Sorry to be so blunt. How can you explain the wonderful creation? How can you explain life itself? How can you explain you? There's only one answer. It's not just an accident. Not just a big bang and something came out of it. In the beginning it says, God. But the fool saith in his heart, there is no God. But tonight, dear friend, I can tell you absolutely, from nature, from this book, from my own experience, there is a God. He's holy, infinitely holy. It says he cannot even look upon sin. And yet he loves you. Wonderful, isn't it? But you've offended against him. Talks later on in the passage we read about the law came in order that the offence might abound. Everybody knows about the Ten Commandments, don't they? Thou shalt not. No one can keep them. I've broken every one. You say, "Oh, Mr. Preacher, you haven't done this and that and the other." If you read the words of Jesus, he explains the meaning behind them. Everyone in their thoughts, in their mind, is committed. Everyone. We've broken the law. And what is that that thou shalt not do? What it does is to expose us. We've missed the mark. Paul says in another place in this book, we've come short. And that's, I understand, an expression used in archery, when they throw an arrow at the target and it misses the bullseye. And that's what sin has done. God's standard that he required when he created man, we've missed the mark, we've missed the standard, we've disobeyed. What did Eve do, first of all, and what did Adam do? They disobeyed God. Rebellion, that's what it is, essentially. Man has rebelled against God. And what this Paul is saying in this passage is that by the one man, you might say, Mr. Preacher, I thought it was Eve that sinned first. Well, so it was. But man stands responsible. It's Adam here, because he is the responsible head. And tonight, dear friend, you are responsible. Not your mother, not your father, not your friends. You are responsible to God. And you've offended him. So tonight, you do stand in the courtroom of heaven. And you're guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. You can't argue with it. There's no ifs, no buts. You stand in the dock tonight, dear friend. Guilty as charged. And there's nothing to say. You know, people like to have lots of arguments. Some people are very clever in their arguments. We read in Revelation at the great white throne, they're silent. Nothing to say. People that have a lot to say for themselves now might find in a day to come, when they're judged in their sins, they've got nothing to say. Nothing. So you stand in the dock, dear friend, guilty as charged. The judge is about to give the sentence. What is the sentence? Is it small? Is it light? Not just a life sentence. It's a sentence of death. Death physically, yes. Everyone dies. We've been hearing about a lot about death, you know, in the last year or so, haven't we? And I make no light, I'm not speaking lightly of it. Please don't misunderstand me. But we heard an awful lot about death. But what does the scripture say? It's the wages of sin. Why do people die? Yes, they die from this and that and the other. But the point is, dear friend, that all men die. And it's because of sin. The wages of sin is death. So you stand in the dock tonight, guilty as charged. You've got nothing to say, no argument. You're sentenced to eternal death. Paul says, and he preached in Athens, you can read it in Acts chapter 17, he said that it's appointed to men once to die. People miss appointments in this life. I've missed a few. That's one appointment you'll never miss. It's appointed to men once to die. But then it says something else. It says, after that, the judgment. And many a man has died, maybe not fearing death itself, but what lies after. Because death is not the end, dear friend. People like to think that it is, but it isn't. So where are you going to be? What's going to happen? You're sentenced to death. But, you know, the wonderful point of the glad tidings is that just at that point, mercy comes in. There's a song, I've repeated it before in the glad tidings. It's a wonderful song. I stood in the courtroom. The judge looked my way. I can't remember the middle bit, but it says, at that point, mercy walked in. Mercy walked in. Just at the point when you thought it was final. There was no hope. The judge is sitting there, and that is God. God himself. The judge looked my way. You're guilty. Yes. But at that point, mercy walked in. And what is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. At the very point when you thought it was helpless and hopeless, when you thought it was just the point of your extremity, God shows his great mercy. Mercy walks in. Changed the whole situation from gloom and despair to hope. And how can it be? Dear friends, the point is that God sent his only beloved Son. The one that hates sin, the one that created you and you rebelled against and disobeyed, that very God at the same time loves you and loves you so much that he sent his only beloved Son. Jesus. Who is Jesus? God manifest in the flesh. You know, people talk about Jesus coming into the world at Christmas, don't they? What was that baby? Was he just a good preacher, a prophet? Did he grow up being a bit different to everyone else? Well, he was different to everyone else. But what was he? Just a good child? No, he was God. God manifest in the flesh. And he came into our world. Why did he come into our world? So that he could suffer and die on our account. Because you see, God requires a punishment for sin. He requires a sacrifice. If you read at the beginning, Cain and Abel. Cain, you know, he produced something of his own efforts, the fruit of the ground. But Abel instinctively knew that sacrifice was required. So he brought a lamb, didn't he? A lamb. As a sacrifice for sin. Tonight, dear friend, I'm presenting to you a Saviour who's the greatest sacrifice for sin. The Lamb of God. Jesus! And yet, who was that? That was God himself. I can't understand it. But it's true, dear friend. That God came to this world to save the very world that he created. To save you. The very one he created. Because God loves you so much. God so loved the world. What does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved Son. Who was that Son? He was God and he was man. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Tonight, dear friend, do you believe it? Jesus came to this world to suffer and die on his own account? No, on yours and mine. He gave himself for me. That's what Paul said. You know, I often think of that. Paul, the greatest theologian that's ever lived. He knew the scriptures, the Old Testament. He knew all the law. Paul was a very intelligent man, wasn't he? And yet he said something so simple. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that, dear friend, tonight? Just at the very point that you thought it was helpless, that you were a sinner and that you were condemned. You were offended God and you were condemned. Condemned to the cell, but then condemned to death. At that very point, mercy walked in. Dear friend, tonight, in the gospel, we're offering a remedy. You know, people trust remedies for this and that and the other. Think of the latest crisis. People like to trust in a remedy. What is the remedy for sin? What is the remedy for eternal punishment? What is the remedy for God's judgment? Jesus. He gave himself. Yes, God gave him. He sent him. But on another way I can say Jesus gave himself. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So tonight, dear friend, if you feel guilty, and you should do, you stand in the courtroom of heaven and you realise that you deserve to be there. Interesting, isn't it, that if you read in the Gospels, the two thieves, one either side of Jesus, one of them says, "We indeed justly." He came to understand that he deserved to be there because of what he was done. And tonight, if you really have to do with God, and I trust that each one in this place tonight has to do with God, I'd rather you deal with him now, because all men will have to deal with him. It says, nothing is late, is secret, nothing is hidden from him with whom we have to do. So you will have to meet God. The cry in the Old Testament was, prepare to meet thy God. Tonight I'm asking you, dear friend, are you prepared to meet God? As a sinner, as a disobedient sinner, full of guilt, you're not prepared, you're not ready. But if you listen to the gospel, what God is saying, I gave my son to die in your place. And that's the heart of the gospel. That's what the cross is all about. There am I in the courtroom of heaven. I stand in the dock as guilty. But just at the very last moment, you might say, God, it says in Hebrews, in these last days, God has spoken in the person of the Son. Mercy walked in. Jesus suffered in your place. He took the punishment that you deserved and I deserved. What a saviour. No wonder the hymn says, hallelujah, what a saviour. So Paul is saying here in this passage that it was by one man sin came into the world. Yes, Adam sinned. And that has infected the whole human race. We heard a lot about a virus, haven't we? Many millions infected. But you know, sin has infected the whole of the human race. Everyone. All have been made sinners by that one offence. The disease of sin has spread throughout the whole human race. And not just the human race, but as some of us were saying, seeing in the reading, the whole of creation has been affected by sin. Whole of creation. But conversely, by one man, God is going to make everything right. And he can make it right for you tonight. If you feel crushed under the weight of your guilt and sin, tonight I can offer you hope and the glad tidings. Because Jesus, through his mercy, has walked into your situation. He suffered and died on Calvary's cross on your account. Not for his own sins, but for yours and mine. Paul says, doesn't he, that He who knew no sin, he who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness. That's the glorious thing about the glad tidings. I think Spurgeon called it the glorious exchange. Glorious exchange. He takes your sin, puts it on Jesus. He takes Jesus' righteousness and puts it on you. What a wonderful exchange that is. Tonight, God is offering it to you. Do you deserve it? No. None of us deserve it. That's why mercy walked in. What is mercy? It means having something you don't deserve. Dear friend, tonight, mercy has walked in. Jesus has suffered and died on the cross and given you salvation by the one man. There's only one Saviour. We're talking about different churches this afternoon. Many offer the road to salvation. It's made clear in this book, the words of God, that there's only one Saviour. There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus, blessed Son of God. So by the one man Adam, the whole human race has been condemned. Can I make it more personal, dear friend? You have been condemned. You're guilty. You, sir, you, madam, are guilty. But by the one man, Jesus Christ, he can make you free. He can set you free because he's taken your place and mine. He's taken the punishment of your sins. The whole world, you know, came into darkness. You can read the gospel account for 3 hours. What happened in that 3 hours? The world had never known anything like it. It says there was darkness over the whole earth. In the middle of the day, midday. And yet from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, darkness over the whole earth. At that point, God was pouring the wrath of his wrath upon sin, on Jesus' head. He became sin. The very one that had pleased him so much. God could open the heavens and say, "This is my beloved Son." No one pleased God like Jesus did. And yet God was prepared to pour that wrath upon him. Have you ever met anyone in a complete rage? It's not a nice, pretty sight, is it? Can you imagine God's wrath upon sin? And he took it out, if I can put it without any blasphemy. He took it out on Jesus. Poured it out on his head. No wonder it says in the garden that his sweats were like, his sweat was like drops of blood. Jesus felt what was coming. Thank God, you know, you and I, we don't know what's round the corner. I think that's God's mercy. Jesus knew everything that was round the corner. No wonder he felt the pressure of it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Cup of judgment, cup of suffering. If it be possible. Let me tell you, dear friend, it wasn't possible if you and I were to be saved. Dear friend, tonight, the one man, Jesus Christ, is offered as a saviour. Saviour of sinners like me. Hope you can say tonight, a saviour of sinners like you. So, mercy has walked in. Salvation is offered. Not only are you let off, but you're justified in God's sight as if you'd never sinned. How wonderful that is. Given a new life. You're given the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Two things that God gives. Tonight, I wonder if you know what it is to be set free. I can remember the time when I first understood that I'd been forgiven. You know, if you've got as a feeling between two people, not nice, is it? To get the matter cleared, it's wonderful to get everything cleared, isn't it? You feel it in your spirit, everything's settled. Dear friend, tonight in the glad tidings, God would offer you that. He'd say, I forgive you of your sin. I forgive you and I set you free. Everything's cleared, I'm justified. Because Paul's saying here, I'm giving you the righteousness of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That God doesn't look upon you now as a guilty sinner. He looks upon you as he looks upon his beloved son. What a difference! What a difference. And that is available to you tonight in the glad tidings. If you just repent of your sin. It's often said, you know, you don't have to do anything. I know what they mean. You don't have to do anything to be saved. That's not quite true. Two things you have to do. Repent and believe. Trust and obey. That's the only way. Repent of your sin. Believe in Jesus as the Saviour. Tonight, if you do those two things, God will righteously, and he can righteously forgive you. That means that he doesn't just brush it under the carpet. God can't do that because he's too holy. He righteously forgives you. He has a basis to forgive you because of the work of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, God has a righteous basis to forgive you your sin and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Give you eternal life. Hope. What joy and blessing there are in believing in Jesus. There's not much hope in the world today, is there, if you read the news or listen or watch or whatever. Pretty depressing. People are starved of good news, aren't they? Tonight, we're sitting on this wonderful glad tidings. The greatest news ever. That you can be set free, released, forgiven, given the hope of eternal life, which starts now. Wonderful for the believer, you know, it starts the very moment you put your trust in him. It's not going to heaven when I die, although that is true, of course. But you can go to heaven now, in spirit, because as soon as you're forgiven and saved, God gives you his Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit? He's my link between Jesus up in glory and down here. Wonderful link. He's a witness to a living Saviour. We were reading this afternoon about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Where is he? I can't point you to him, actually, but I know where he is. He's in heaven. It's a real place. It's not just a figment of my imagination. It's not just a fairyland. It's a real place. Jesus is there. And God gives you his Spirit as a link. So I know he's there. Because he's in my heart. Wonderful Saviour. What a salvation. Once I was guilty. Once I was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind. But now I see. What a transformation. God offers that in the glad tidings tonight. By the one man. Only one remedy. People, as I say, like to try all sorts of remedies. There's only one remedy that will work for your soul. That's Jesus. What he did at Calvary. Dear friend, tonight, if you feel as if you're in that dock, then the good news is that mercy has walked in. God is towards you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. He wants to bring you into relationship with himself. That's God what desires. He desired that right from the beginning. When man had sinned, as we read here, man sinned. What did God do? He said, where art thou? Where art thou? He wants you in his presence. He wants you for himself. He wants to know you and for you to know him. Dear friend, tonight, through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come into that relationship, to know him, to have a hope which is beyond this world. And what the world needs more than anything is hope, isn't it? Dear friend, tonight, there's no hope apart from Jesus. Put your trust and faith in him tonight. Repent of your sin, put your faith in him. Not only will you be acquitted, but you'll be given an entirely new life. A new life where Jesus gives you peace and joy in believing. May you have this transaction, have to do with him tonight. Call upon his name and you'll be saved for time and for eternity. May you do so for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.